Kevin, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Now, Israeli authorities have announced an initiative that allows asylum seekers to choose the option of deportation to a third world country or face this unspecified amount of jail time. What do you make of these, this kind of decisions that's been reached by Israeli authorities?
Well, it's clearly in violation of international refugee law, and the UN High Commissioner for Refugees has said that. There's an obligation of what's called non-refoulement. You can't send people back to a situation where they face a real danger of persecution. And since these people are apparently being sent to Rwanda, and the Rwandans won't accept people who have been involuntarily sent there, they may be sent on, possibly to Uganda, and from there to the place they come from, which is Sudan and Eritrea. So Israel is not in compliance with its obligations under international law. And, of course, there's a great deal of concern about what may happen to the people who have been sent, because refugee groups say that people who had previously been returned to Africa had suffered severe consequences. So it's a sorry situation. And, of course, there are groups in Israel who point out that Israel is itself a state of refuge, and against the background of the struggle of Jewish people in Europe to find refuge before the Second World War. This is striking many Israelis as morally incompatible with what they think about their own country.
Why is it that Rwanda and Uganda were chosen as the countries of deportation for these asylum seekers?
Well, that I'm not sure about. Particularly, there doesn't seem to be any agreement with Rwanda. And Rwanda's president, President Kagame, said earlier this year, as I mentioned earlier, that Rwanda would not accept people who have not been returned voluntarily. So exactly the agreement that Israel may or may not have reached with Rwanda and Uganda are very unclear.
Now, it is interesting, as you mentioned there, Israel, a country of refuge itself, and indeed many Israelis being kind of opposed to this one. When we look at the way authorities have actually defined the situation, those seeking asylum in Israel, they're obviously asylum seekers and refugees. However, Israel's official term for them is infiltrators after crossing the border illegally. Does this definition raise issues when we... Well, when certainly sort of international courts, bodies like the UNHCR actually try to look at the situation in Israel to actually consider the issues that are currently in Israel?
Well, yes, certainly, because the Refugee Convention says that people should not be discriminated against on account of the way in which they found themselves in the state where they're seeking refuge, because it's very often the case that refugees do arrive illegally in a country. So making the wholesale statement that these people are infiltrators and economic migrants is contrary to Israel's international obligations.
I mean, we've seen the same issue kind of crop up with our definitions here, and it often needs something of a reminder that although these individuals may come across borders illegally, seeking asylum within itself makes it a legal act. It is not illegal to seek asylum.
Oh, well, that's correct. And there's an obligation to allow people to submit an application for asylum and have it processed.
Now, there are almost 35,000 asylum seekers from Africa in Israel. Of those, only 11 have actually been granted asylum. And now, of course, we see this issue cropping up where we've actually seen 7 of them jailed indefinitely for refusing to be deported. What actual precedent does this set for asylum seekers in Israel right now? I would imagine they would be fairly nervous about their position.
Oh, well, extremely. And they are very concerned about what might happen to them. Israel has said that it won't deport or imprison families or children who have been born since their parents arrived in Israel. So we're only talking about unaccompanied young men, but there are quite a lot of those because many of these people fled Eritrea to avoid military service. That, of course, is not a ground for refugee status. So a significant proportion of these 35,000 or 36,000 are probably single men, and they are those who are under threat because of this Israeli policy.
Indeed. I think there's about 600 that have already received their deportation notices alongside this seven that we are speaking about. Just as a sort of a practical standpoint, when we talk about Israel, how can their prison services actually, house people indefinitely? Are they really physically set up for that kind of, that kind of reign?
Well, it's certainly a fairly large detention facility in the Negev Desert, where refugee applicants are imprisoned from time to time. Israel doesn't have the same policy we do. They don't detain people indefinitely on arrival, but many of these people would have been detained before. I'm not sure whether they will be actually sent into the Israeli prison system or sent to one of the detention facilities like the one I mentioned in the Negev Desert. But I think Israel, when it sets out to achieve something, achieves it. So I don't think the physical limitations of the prison service are going to be a major factor.
An excellent point there, Kevin. Thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
Fine. Cheers.